It's time for Blindly Obvious.
We all have had those moments where we let the trash sit a little bit too long, right? It's just kind of gathering in the room and the smells are melting within and everyone's getting to smell what should be taken to the curb. We are going to mull through some very difficult subjects. I would beg you to be patient. We're going to discuss some of the trash that is in the room so that we can identify what needs to be taken to the can and then the curb.
Welcome to Blindly Obvious. As always, I am Tyler with my co-host Jeff. And today we have special guest Sharon Hildebrand. And Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Tyler and Jeff. I appreciate you asking me to come.
Absolutely. And just to give the audience a little bit of a background, we're going to kind of cover the topic of immigration in our country, which, I mean, of course, is kind of becoming a problem maybe for our local small town. But I think, you know, across the country, everybody in every small town is probably starting to look at the same issues and kind of wonder, you know, what's going on here?
You are correct. We have a problem in Findlay, Ohio, but we have a real big problem in the country in general.
Just kind of a little background on, you know, who you are, where you come from, and how you ended up here.
Sure. I came to Findlay in 1968 after business school, got a job, worked for 32 years for a Fortune 500 company. I decided to take early retirement to follow my passion, which is dance. So I had taken dance lessons for 25 years all the time while I was working. I hooked up with a retired dancer who actually was on Broadway.
Oh, nice.
And I started teaching dance with her. So I have lots of interests, but the 2000 election of Barack Obama in 2008, which is what really got me going on politics, because I thought his Common Core policy was going to dumb down our students. And
do you think it worked?
Oh, it worked beautifully.
Safe and effective, huh?
Safe and effective. All right. If you know, we're not teaching history in class anymore.
Now, what did you spend your career as?
I started out as an executive secretary. I had a two-year degree. And while I was working, I went to night school and weeknights and weekends, got my accounting degree. But they seemed to think that I had a talent for contracts. So I spent the last 15 years of my career in the engineering department working on construction contracts.
So you're nuts and bolts, facts and figures.
Yep.
You like to
all
carve
the
through.
Way. Yeah. I want the facts.
Meticulousness seems important to you.
Very much
based
so.
Based on dancing and your job. And
buckle your seatbelt.
Yeah. I also think with your job, you probably have pretty good communication skills, right? Because you're kind of the bridge between maybe two sectors of the company that on their own, their languages may be different, but you're the bridge that understands kind of what both sides are saying, right?
Interesting you would say that. Yes, I was kind of the liaison between the engineers who were out in the field making it all happen and would have problems with the contractors or the contracts, and they would call in to me, and I would go to the legal department and say, hey, this is what the problem is. What do we do?
File a lawsuit.
Yes. Well, I even got in the last several years I was working, I even got involved in the environmental remediation contracting. And that is another discussion for another day, but that's why what's going on with the river work has me very concerned.
Well, let's jump into it. So you recently visited our local city council presenting your concerns of the immigration issue here in our town, and you gave a presentation there. So you're going to share some of that with us today, as well as get into maybe some potential solutions.
I'm a fact person. I like to know what the details are. And when people tell me things, I want to know what their basis is for telling me that. So that's my approach today. I'm a member of Judicial Watch, which you may or may not know about, but it's a nonpartisan American educational foundation, and it promotes transparency, accountability, and integrity in government, politics, and the law. Now, as a member, I receive reports and litigation reports as to what they are doing, and I received a very, very disturbing report from them. And it says, illegal alien criminals, a serious threat to public safety and national security. So I started digging into this to find out what exactly that meant. And lo and behold, it popped out at me that the Immigration and Nationality Act, which is USC Code 1227, is being totally ignored. It is actually, our government is actually breaking the law.
So they're criminals too.
Yes.
No.
How about you picked up on that?
Well, and what's really interesting here, before you continue on, I would just add into the fact of we don't even have to take the warning of a letter at this point from anyone. You can look and see for yourself. There are Venezuelan gangs in Aurora, Colorado, right, that are running apartment complexes and demanding that the tenants pay them the rent. And it's spreading to other cities. So, I mean, we're past the point of a warning of a threat, right? It's an active occurrence.
Well, I got to add to your dilemma you just put there. On top of that, there are safe sanctuary policies that our leaders have put in place in certain states and trying to spread that abroad, where the police cannot enforce the law that applies to the rest of us.
Sure, and some places exactly. You got to say it's being exactly. incurred.
Right, and so in other words, these people are given carte blanche access with being armed and to operate as a gang. Mm-hmm. And yes. It's a new business, right? It's a new business
model. That's exactly
model.
Right. But let me also point out that sanctuary cities are also illegal.
Correct.
We do have a law that makes them illegitimate.
But I guess our ignorance allows this to continue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the other thing is that one of the comments that was made to me when I was making this presentation at the city council is that, well, we have no control because all of this is coming down from the federal government. Read your constitution, people.
Right.
It's a document of, by, and for
the people.
Sure. Well, and I think this is one of my favorite things about President Trump, and the other side always says how he's going to, which I don't agree with abortion, but they always say, oh, he's going to federally make it so it's illegal and there's no choice, when they fail to realize that, like, because of him, it was overturned at the Supreme Court, giving the issue back to the states where it actually belonged.
Right.
Bingo.
Right.
You got it. And that's the problem I'm having today is that the media is so complicit. If they would just tell the truth, the good and the bad on both sides of the aisle, then the people would have an opportunity to make a good decision as to who they would want to elect. But our media is nothing but propaganda, and it's helping to destroy our country.
Well, they if you look back to the, I think it was in 2014, there is an act called the Smith-Mundt Act, which basically legalized the usage of propaganda materials in the United States. So once again, you can see the playing out of what was already done 10 years ago.
I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm thinking of our average listener right now. Whether we're talking our daily pace or the pace we've been at, things are moving so quick. Policies and all these things are changing so fast. It's like being in a car going 200 miles an hour. You're not able to process all the information that's coming by, and we're so busy just trying to keep our car on the road that we don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're passing. We don't know what's following us. We have no idea the consequences that are coming. We're just overly concerned, obsessed with the next second. And so there's no forethought.
Right.
And so what I want to tell our listeners is this. For many, they think of Republican, Democrat, like bada boom, bada bing, right? It's like, what's the difference? It all sounds almost the same. And it's not. It has drastic impact on the future, which we're all moving towards. We're all moving that way.
I think for a long time, it honestly was the same. Bada boom, bada bing. I think they were pretty much, I always say, two wings of the same bird. They were working towards the same objective. And I think in many ways, there are still many people within the ranks of the Republican Party still attempting to do that. But President Trump has hijacked part of it. So it's like it's split to where there's this massive disparagement from like what is good and what is evil, right?
We are in the midst of reform right now. Almost on a revolutionary scale.
It's a cultural revolution.
100%. There's going to be reform. It's just in which direction is it going to be?
Yeah, not all changes can be good, right?
Right.
So we're about to have drastic change in this country. Whether it's good or bad, we're going to find out. they always say this is the most important election ever. And it always is, because you're always one decision away from drastic change.
Exactly.
But what, again, with this whole thing, continuing on the thought process. So we got different economic models. You got, you know, capitalism, which people love to hate in America today for some reason. It's not a perfect system, but it's the best system thus far. And but then you go, well, you got communism, you got socialism, feudalism. You can just go on and on and on. And we're treating them like they're just, oh, that's, you know, a different flavor of coffee. And I like this, you know, my spicy apple. And
this
my,
one's the pumpkin spice latte. Yeah,
or whatever.
This one over here is the mint mocha.
And their mind are thinking, regardless, whichever system we get, I still get a good cup of coffee.
Can't you kind of make that same comparison to... They've done that same thing in almost every aspect of life. I mean, you could even go to religion and then Christianity. There's so many different spices of it that everybody, that's what everybody just thinks just like that. Like, well, it's just,
they're all the same.
What flavor of coffee do you want?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess to some degree, what's the difference in restaurants? They all serve dead fish, dead chicken, dead beef. You know, it's all the same, right? But it's not.
It all comes out in the toilet.
I think the one thing we need to do is we need to specify what is real capitalism, because right now capitalism is letting humongous companies buy out small companies so that the government can control the entire country. And they're calling that capitalism. That is not capitalism.
That's funny. I was actually literally going to make a point to that before you said that.
Well, I didn't mean for us to jump into different models. All I was trying to say is these are some of the things that are on the table in this election. And again, our average listener doesn't know that because the car is moving so fast. They're just trying to keep it on the road because I can't pay my rent. I can't pay my mortgage. I'm overextended on my credit cards. I'm in trouble and I just want someone to help me.
If you are going to look to the government to solve your problems, you are going to be very, very unhappy with the result. Because just remember this, the government can give you things, but the government can take things away. So once they run out of money, other people's money, we are all going to be in the same spot.
Isn't that what we saw? And everyone kind of knows this, if you've got any age to you, Canada, just our neighbor, socialized medicine. And it sounds wonderful. And all the Canadians 10, 15 years ago were saying, it's so wonderful because we all get free health care.
And now those same people have been waiting for a doctor since
that
time.
But then you're waiting in line.
They're coming to America.
Yeah, you're waiting in line for a year for your appointment. So you have an emergency and you have to wait a year to get treatment. So what they do is they drive to America to get in instantly for the major stuff. And they'll pay for it out of pocket. But at the same time, they were touting and praising their socialized medicine. That's not working. That's government run, which is like every other socialized system. It works for a time for a few until everyone gets on board, and then there's scarcity and not enough. And also you remove incentive for competent, capable people to serve in those roles because they can't get ahead because a garbage man makes the same in salary as the doctor, the neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
And it sounds fair. At first, until your neurosurgeon has the competency of the garbage man.
Well, and that's where I think that's kind of we could kind of bounce that back off we're allowing companies not only to buy out smaller companies so they can own everything, but we're allowing the placement of people in positions who have incentivized before they've come, they've been incentivized to pass approvals through government agencies. Put into position to pass that, give approvals so they can get the huge bonus, and then they go back to where they just came from.
Let me say this a different way. We're allowing companies to set the policies that govern the rest of us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's the issue. Those same companies pad the politicians who are going to vote these through.
Well, sure.
And so they don't care because they're getting...
Everybody's benefiting.
Well, they are.
In their circle.
Yeah, in their circle. While the rest of us have to pay the bill. Sharon? Sharon, listen. You are running down the mountain.
Yes, I am.
Right now, you're running down the mountain and you're telling us the volcano isn't going to erupt. It already has.
Right.
You just came from the previous village. It's been burned. It's being consumed right now as we speak with lava and fiery rocks falling from the sky. And the lava is now moving to the next village 20 miles down the road. Tell me in 2 minutes, what's coming? What is the lava?
We've got, now they're saying we've got 20 million illegal people in our country. What is going to be the impact of that? They're here to undercut low-income American wages. They're here to be counted in the next census so that all of the voting districts can be reconfigured so that the and these people will be given amnesty so that they can vote.
In some ways, aren't they already?
That's another thing I want to bring up. And then what happens is that all of the funds from the government will be directed toward these areas that are full of Democrat voters.
Okay, so what you just said was people who've never paid a dime into our taxation system.
Exactly.
Who are now benefiting from that tax system or retirement program we call Social Security.
Right.
They're deriving those funds. In addition, they're going to get to vote about how the future funds get divvied out.
That's exactly right.
And what that really means is for the rest of us Americans who paid into the system is it means a lot less, if any, for you. We're being replaced. Our the American jobs are shrinking, but the immigration jobs are coming up. They're the preferred wage worker because they'll work for less.
They'll be willing to work for less because the government is stuffing money in their pockets. They're subsidizing them. So that leaves out the American people. But Donald Trump has said, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. And pay attention to that, because that's exactly what is happening. The people that are the most, that threaten the government the most, are the middle class, because they're not dependent upon the government for support. They're thinkers, they're doers, they're patriots. And that's who has the target on their back. Mm.
Okay, so that's...
The destruction of the middle class means that everybody gets downgraded to low income.
Okay, so...
Absolutely,
again, 100%. For our people, all they're thinking in right now is, okay, so I'm going to have a little bit less, and there's more to the lava than that. What you're really saying is this, and this regime policy, economic system change, what it also means is this, eventually, there goes your private property.
Yes.
There goes your bank account. There goes everything that you saved up. You won't retire. Go and look at other communist countries. You work till you're dead.
Well, and it's almost already at this point for this current generation of young adults, almost, if you didn't have help, nearly impossible for you to buy a home already.
So they're going to take that, your family farm, all those things that your family has been able to accrue in the last 100 years.
Right.
Anything that you've worked for and you're in your 40s now, planning on retiring in your 50s, say you're still one of those few people, even that will be taken from you. Because if you didn't realize, that shirt you're wearing is not yours. And if your neighbor down the street, the government determines he needs it more than you do, they take it from you and give it to him.
There is an outstanding book by Carol Roth, who is an economist. She was in the financial, she was on Wall Street. She wrote a book and that said, you will own
nothing.
Nothing.
And be happy.
And be happy. Well, and that is a direct quote from Harara, who is the head guy reporting to Carl Schwab of the World Economic Forum. And he said that you won't own anything.
Right.
We'll give you some technology and some drugs and you'll be happy. You won't know the difference.
Surfs.
Well, since
Surfs.
We're talking great That's exactly replacement right. theories here, I got to throw one out. Is it possible that people are being... You know, like in these big cities, that people are being replaced? As far as, I mean, we just saw 4 years ago a giant experiment take place in the country. Many young people dying suddenly, as well as older people. And then at the same time, millions of people are being moved in without the same requirements of those people who live here to get employment, and now move into all these once highly dense areas.
And also are not receiving that medicine that is causing others to die suddenly. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm... They weren't required to go through the same processes to maintain their job.
I want to make sure our listener caught that. Because when you said that, what you're saying is we all had to go... Well, not all had to, but we chose to. We felt we had to.
People were definitely pressured.
To get this special medicine that would save us that didn't. But the ones coming in, the new choice people who will work for less and do as they're told... are being brought in to replace us who are dying now.
Or, I mean, it just kind of feels like it'll connect the dots, maybe?
That's interesting.
That's a theory.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they want this country to be a third world country.
We're on the way.
If you want,
it's the last one.
Yeah. If you want to look at the World Economic Forum, and I would recommend that the listeners do a little research. It doesn't take a lot, and it's not hard. Look up the World Economic Forum and read their mission statement. They do not like poor people. They do not like the average person. They want to be in control of everybody that is on this planet. And to be honest with you, Herrera once said, our biggest problem, meaning our biggest problem in the World Economic Forum, is figuring out to do what to do with all these useless people.
Yeah.
They call them useless eaters.
And they call them useless eaters. That is exactly right.
So now, how do we get a message across to especially young people who have not gotten the experience of what, at least even when I grew, I mean, I'm only 31, but when I grew up, the American dream of the white picket fence, the house, the two kids, and a dog still seemed very much achievable for the average person, right? That's kind of gone out the window. And how do we convince a younger person that all of these free gifts that are going to be thrown at them to convince them to walk in that direction, you know, like if they get central bank digital currency, maybe you get $2,000 a month of a universal basic income. Maybe, you know, if you're thinking, man, things are really expensive and you don't have a great understanding of economics, and somebody says, well, I'm going to cap the price of things.
Well, I think
so they
part
can't
of your,
get more expensive.
Part of your problem that this generation's bumping into is they want to be cared for. And the system so far has done that. Their mom and dad have always cared for them. Remember that movie, Failure to Launch, that came out years ago, but it's really describing much of this current younger generation is the ones who tried quickly came back home and are living at home. And in their mind, they're still thinking, mom and dad are going to die and I get this house. I'm telling you, with this new system, even this house you have is going to be taken from you.
That's exactly right.
They don't understand that.
And that's what I'm, how do you convince or show somebody that, man, this isn't good. I understand there's some things about it that sound good and enticing. I get it. But in the end,
they take it all.
You lose.
They take it all from you. Yeah. And so you're on the front end, it's kind of like getting a loan. What do they call those? Balloon loans, where they give you a loan and it looks great because you can go buy the things that you want. But then a month or two later, you know, you start having to make payments and you're like, sure. Oh, I got less money now. And then the interest on the loan goes up drastically. And next thing you know, you're having to give up not only what you bought, but you've got nothing.
I've got to give more than what I even bought.
You have nothing now.
Well, I have a feeling that I am older than both of you. So I have a little bit of a different perspective.
I thought you were only 29.
Oh, aren't you sweet? When my husband and I were first married, Jimmy Carter was president.
Hmm.
And when we wanted to buy a house, first of all, we lived in an apartment for 2 years that had a kitchen, a bathroom, a bedroom, and a little TV room.
You're living high on the hog, huh?
That's exactly right. We were. And we also had a furnace that sounded like a fire siren when it ran during the wintertime.
Oh.
We saved one salary, and after 2 years of marriage, we bought our first house with the idea that that house would be an equity house, and we would sell it and move on. We had 14% interest on our loans, so my suggestion going forward is to young people, start to scale back your expectations and your wants. And there's a really good life out there that doesn't include absolutely everything that you see in the grocery store.
Right.
That's an awesome way of looking at things that I feel like most people, we'll say like my age and younger, due to digital society being such a heavy presence in everyone's lives through, cell phones, I think people oftentimes forget that. They always say, I need this, I need that, I need this. Because it's everything that they're seeing all day.
And I personally think that technology is, I'm a book reader.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like reading things on the computer, on my phone. I like to sit down with a hard, solid book in my hands, in my comfortable chair, and read my book.
Sure.
That is not, we don't do that anymore in this country. We are, it's like, man, we hit that button on the phone or the computer and we get a shot of dopamine and then it's on to the next button. You hit the next button.
Yep, need the next shot.
And I see this in the little children and Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, and none of those guys let their children touch a computer until junior high.
Right.
Now, they're pushing those computers on our children, and we're swallowing it up.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for it. They're addictive.
Oh, sure. Well, look at every adult. I mean, it's not hard to see how addictive they are.
So who's going to be running the world? It isn't going to be us. It's going to be the people that were schooled in critical thinking, who were schooled in subject matter that is our lifetime information.
Thank God for Common Core, then.
There is really no
critical... No, we're
critical...
really getting off the track. I thought we were
this
going to talk
immigration.
This is what
we do. Okay, yeah.
Critical thinking is a great...
Yes.
I think if we could, a characteristic that we could bring back into society, that would be awesome.
And please don't get it mixed up with critical race theory. That is not the same thing.
That's like equity versus, what's the other one? Equality.
Equality.
Yeah.
They're not the same. They have
they,
a similar,
they sound close.
Yeah, but they're not the same.
Well, and when the government changes the definitions of words, no wonder we're all so confused and we can't talk to each other is because...
Like from homeless to unhoused.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So my purpose today was I wanted to give the people some facts so that you know what the government is doing, and that's local, state, and federal, and so that you know that what they're doing is not right.
This is a great place to stop. Any heroes from the past that you look up to, you just admire their character, their integrity, their example, you wish maybe somehow that you could become half of what they were. There are heroes, real heroes, and they don't all wear spandex. Thank goodness, right? The point is this, these people that we look up to who did extraordinary things in their time did so at great pain and sacrifice to themselves. I think sometimes we forget the cost involved and the junk they had to wade through to be able to competently address the issues of their day and bring about true resolution. I know it's daunting. I know it's frustrating. I know it's just disgusting to look at the issues that plague us today. But if we're to move in a meaningful way, we have to acknowledge what's broke, so we know what we have to fix. And we also need to pay attention to what or who can help us get it done. If you want to know what a person will do in the future, look at what they did in the past. You know, in this election cycle coming up, I won't make any bones about it, who I'm voting for. As you look at Trump and as you look at Kamala, if you want to know what they're going to do in the future, just look at what they did in the past. If you like where we've been in the last 3.5 years, then vote for Kamala. If you like the way things were before she and her cohorts got in power, then vote for Trump. Because you're going to get more of the same from each of them. If you want prosperity, if you want more Americana, vote Trump. If you like communism, then I think Kamala is your girl.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com. where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.